What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back, Redheads. We are back with the Redheads Book Club, yet this time we're back and better than ever because we have our very first episode with the author, Claudia Ashray, Girl With No Job. Welcome to the show.
I am honored and both frightened to be here. And I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me. I know you are booked and busy.
We are so booked.
Booked.
First of all, we are so excited to have our first author here. Thank you for writing a book and making it a fabulous one at that.
Yes, I did do it for you.
I mean, you know, where there is a book, there is a redhead.
So true.
And we've got the other girls here tonight. Hey, girls, how y'all doing?
Hey, 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 hey.
Woohoo! We were... Have you ever listened to a redhead episode?
Of course.
You said it in your lying voice.
Go fuck yourself. I have. The
Which
first one.
Okay.
I was about to say, since the first episode.
No.
Okay, well...
I don't think you've done an episode on any of the books that I've read.
Got it.
Okay. Well, it's never too late to become a redhead.
No, it's really not, and I'm thinking about it.
And you chose today.
But I read, like, so many books on vacation. Did you do an episode on any of those? Luckiest Girl Alive?
That's not
no.
what we do here.
No, but we probably could.
Wow.
We did Nothing to See Here.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
I actually loved that book.
Yeah, you
so bizarre. Uh-huh. And I actually stopped halfway.
Okay, you know what's so funny about that book is I feel like you described yourself in your own book as a little nut job, and yeah. I feel like the little girl in that book was a little nut job.
Little ball of fire, like, was me.
Oh my god, that's you, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, and I stopped, and then I started another book, and I couldn't stop thinking about the fiery kids. And I'm like, I gotta go back. And I kid you not, like, when that other kid on TV, like, burst into flames, like, I shit. It was such a good book.
So good.
I'm glad you gave it a second chance.
And it was short. Like, my book is 240 pages. I think that I love short books.
Love short books. Could not agree more. Love the length of your book, Claude.
Speaking of length, Margot also made me read American Royals.
That's not something we've discussed.
The longest show. Book of all time. And not only long, terrible.
Yeah.
Never read it.
Maybe you'll give Kat Marnell another chance.
I've been thinking about getting back into it. I was halfway through. She's just like a little crazy. Like,
you asked for a fabulous, crazy life.
You gave me exactly what I asked for when I asked Dana for a recommendation.
For sure. So I think this is the most people that's ever been on a podcast.
Agreed.
At least one that I participated in. Five girls, four mics. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Anything could happen. Anything could... Ooh, 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 ooh.
It's funny. We, like, never sing on the Redheads, but because
here I am.
Claudia's on for 1 minute. Also, this is a group of people who talk a lot. Like, it's about to get interesting for mic time.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm going to do my... absolute best.
Yeah, no, I think once we get into the outline, we'll have structure. But before we do, we need to wish Dana a happy birthday.
Yes.
Birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
We just sounded so good.
We did, because I didn't join in.
Stunning, stunning.
We're going from Redheads Book Club to girl band.
Yeah, no, to Redheads Choir.
Redheads Choir.
The Traveling Choir. That's us.
There's a book about everything here.
We're
at the
more
Redheads.
Like Jackie and the Pussycat Dolls, you know?
Oh my god, I love it.
We actually are.
Yeah. Love it. We'll rebrand. So let's get into this book. We read Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster by Claudia Ashray. We are joined by Claudia Ashray. We kick off every episode of The Redheads with a quick summary of the book for anyone who didn't read it and just loves our beautiful voices and opinions.
Right, of course, of course.
So this book is your memoir up until this point.
My story,
it's
yes.
It's your story. It's about your childhood, your high school, college, and post-grad years, and it is a lot about your rise to stardom, your fall, and then your rise again.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you follow Claudia, she has the Instagram account Girl With No Job, where she's just for a comedian.
Yeah.
She posts humor content.
I do. I'm a humorous gal.
She has parlayed that comedy content into a national comedy tour and a fabulous podcast called Morning Toast.
And a podcast network.
And a podcast network called TNN, which we are all here so grateful to be a part of.
100%.
So if you're listening to this episode, you know who Claudia is, and that's what the book's about. How she got to where she is today, January 27th, 2021.
Exactly. The thirst monster starfucker that I am. Just exploiting every celebrity I've ever met in the book.
Yes, but now that we're reading it, it's like the thirst monster starfucker that you are that's like a little insecure about it.
100%.
Yeah. Because it's like you only see the ultimate outcome of like you being thirsty, but it's like what goes through your mind on your way to the water fountain to drink.
Right.
It's really interesting.
The inner workings of a thirst monster's mind are very complex.
And I think they're all different. I think some people are equally thirsty inside and out. And I think, like, you know, it's kind of like confidence, fake it till you make it. Like,
yeah.
You're, on the outside, you're being super thirsty, but on the inside, you're having a lot of doubts.
No, the most ever.
Right. So
too self-aware for my own good.
In this book, we really get to see all of those things that you're always sorting, trying to balance.
Right.
So now we go into our overall thoughts on the book. Did we like it? Did we not like it? What were our favorite parts?
I just have to say, like, if any of you didn't like it, like, you could tell me. I mean, I would cry, but you could tell me.
We would never tell you.
But see, like, I want people, like, of course, like, I've been getting so many rave reviews, and, like, I'm like, oh, my God, I am Shakespeare. Like, by the amount that people are loving my book. And, of course, like, there are people who are hating my book. Like, I've read their reviews on Goodreads. But I'm really not taking it personally because those people didn't even read the book, first of all.
Right.
They posted reviews a month ago. The book came out 2 days ago. But I saw someone say something really profound that was like, it's hard to review memoirs because you attach your thoughts on the person to the thoughts on the book. And you can hate me, but I don't think you could say my book is bad, but you just hate me. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm actually coping with that relatively well. Like the idea that someone might not like it.
I saw on someone's Instagram story they really liked the book and they didn't assign a rating to it because she was like, I don't rate memoirs. It's not my place to rate someone else's story.
No,
like
it's that. So profound. But
yeah.
if she did want to rate it, she could give it 5 stars. That's the only acceptable rating.
Goodreads doesn't accept new ratings for memoirs. Okay, so obviously we all love the book. I'll go first on my initial thoughts. I read the book back in June, and it surprised and delighted because I thought I knew everything about you. And while I do, like, I still found ways to be surprised or find things out about you that I didn't already know. I read a lot of books from influencers, celebrities that are, you know, memoirs, pop culture, just like great little nuggets mm-hmm. of celebrity. And so as a fan of pop culture, this book was everything that I would have wanted from it and more.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you think of the category, like, influencer, or podcast or books, like, do you think of it fondly?
I do. It would have to be someone who I care about, you
right.
know? And I feel like I've read a handful of books. There's not so many in, like, the influencer podcast
category.
No,
I'm being very specific.
But, like, when I think of my favorite genre of book has always been celebrity memoir. Like, we read Jessica Simpson's book
yep.
this year, and, like, I've always liked her enough. I never really thought much about her. But now, ever since her book, like, my opinion on so many things, including her, has changed.
Yeah.
So as someone who is a fan of yours, obviously, like, I participate in all of your content and I know so much about you. Like, I felt like the book was a great representation of you, but also, like, I, in zooming out and taking myself out of the equation as your sister, I'm just like, oh, this is just a good
fun
book, juicy pop culture, like, nugget filled
right.
journey.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that I read the book not knowing you.
Right.
And not being part of the family and, like, reading about yourself. That was fun. No, I mean, the same as Jackie, it's like, we know you, like, so well. Like, I don't know, like,
right.
Yeah.
And it's like, now you do. And I've always said to Jackie, because I was the reader first, that the thing that's interesting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she hasn't let me forget it.
Oh my God. What's
interesting about reading is that, like, on a show, you don't know what's going through someone's head.
Right.
When you're reading, like, you do. And so I thought that was, like, the most interesting, to, like, know what you were thinking, like, in each, like, pivotal moment of your life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's so personal. It's, like, embarrassing.
It's so fucking personal.
It's like fully writing a diary and then just, like, putting it out
yeah,
for everyone.
Like, that was
yeah.
the craziest thing you could have possibly done.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Like, that was your diary. And you're like, Simon Schuster, you want it?
No, it's so brave of me.
Yeah.
But I think it's paying off. Like, so far I'm not like cringing or like embarrassed by anything I put out
there.
You know,
you got to take big risks to get big rewards.
I never even thought of how brave it actually is. Do you think this is the bravest thing you've put out?
Ooh.
Put out? 100%.
Bravest thing you've done?
No.
That third show at Caroline's.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Also, just like being a chubby person, I'm just brave all the time, you know? Like, people, I leave my house and they're like, wow, she's so brave.
I found the book so disorienting to read because I was like constantly switching between two modes. One, oh, I'm reading about a friend. I remember this. I was there.
Right.
Two, oh, I'm reading about a celebrity. This is juicy.
Right.
And when I had to like reconcile those two different people, it was so difficult for me because I didn't know like which perspective I should be adopting at any given point. And it was a nice experience that I'll never get again because true. I don't have any other friends that are celebrities that are publishing books.
I'm sorry to have done that to you, to have disoriented you.
No, but for Dana, who's such an avid reader, to have right. a completely fresh experience reading that's a true. Book.
So such a unique
fresh,
experience.
Fresh. Especially in quarantine when we just totally admire new sensations.
Right.
Yes.
We do. That yes. we do.
And you also had a third element of reading, which was as a objective redhead.
Yes. Right. As a professional podcaster professional. Redhead.
Absolutely.
The one thing I did keep thinking about the whole time was like, I cannot believe you had to write that in quarantine when emotions were running so high. Everyone yeah. was depressed. Now you're supposed to reflect on all the lowest moments of your life.
When like, I'm experiencing the lowest.
No wonder you had a mental breakdown yeah. in COVID.
No. And honestly, like it was good because I'm a procrastinator. Like if I had a deadline, like I never would have met it. But because I was home, like it forced me to do
if
it.
You had a deadline and a bustling social life, this book never
yeah. ever. Like I would have had to return my advance. Like I would not have submitted it. So it was really helpful for that. But I was in like a really I think everyone was like such a toxic headspace, like hating everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. And I tried, we joke on the toast, like I'm always like negative, but that's like my brand of comedy. Like I make fun of things and I just didn't want to be negative. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and you definitely weren't.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Mission
but I feel
accomplished.
Like when you're feeling like that toxicity and we say how this book is kind of like a diary entry for you, like maybe you were journaling. Do you have a yes. new respect for journaling?
I said something very controversial years ago on the toast about journaling. And that's just, and honestly, I feel like it's so reflective of the whole book. Like I'm constantly saying things and then changing my mind years later. And I think journaling is so healthy. Like if I had what's the word? Like
the discipline.
Thank you. Do you yes. see that?
We do it all here at the Redheads Book Club.
If I had the discipline to diary every day, I think it would be great for my mental health. But like my hand.
Diarrhea every day.
That would be great for your physical health.
What?
She
did.
Doesn't
sound like that.
It's like they're the same word.
Of course. Yeah, no. But if I did have diarrhea every day, it would be awesome.
Yes. That would be amazing. Amazing.
I'd like to give my thoughts on the book.
If oh. Yes. Sorry.
I fucking loved it.
Thank you.
But you know I loved it. And it what was interesting for me is I was expecting it to just be story after story after story after story, and there was so much inner monologue, and I really got a lot of advice segments from you. Like I took dating advice from you.
Wow.
She's an expert. One date.
And one date.
At the end you're like, and by the way, don't take this advice, which is so funny. I highlighted it. I read it out loud to my friends. I was like, you guys, this hits home. And at the end I was like, and by the way, ignore this.
I can't decide if I'm like the world's most incredible dater or so lucky. Yeah. I think it's the latter.
I think it's the first.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
A one date wonder.
One date wonder. That's what they call me back in the day.
Okay, I'm curious for all the girls in Claude 2. What was everyone's favorite chapter to read? Because each chapter sort of had a different theme. You know, the first two explored your childhood and grief. Mm-hmm. I think chapter 4 is a big popular one for people where you talk about body image.
Yeah.
Chapter 8 is the one on cancel culture. There's just a lot of different themes throughout. So I just want to know, which one did you guys enjoy the most?
Chapter 1 for me, just because like I was there.
Yeah.
And it just like, it's also just stuff that we never talk about.
So, yeah.
Like, reading about it and being like, oh my God, like this is actually in the world was kind of crazy. So definitely that one.
Yeah. I feel that.
Chapter 1 made me laugh so hard. I was just reading notes and I couldn't mm-hmm. keep reading them because I was laughing and I was like, oh, we're on audio. Like I do
wait,
not
wait, what
want-
part was funny? Oh, you think the death of our father is
oh, I'm
sorry. Funny? No, I'm totally kidding.
Oh, I was looking at the introduction.
Oh, okay, that's what I figured.
I don't think the introduction can actually be it can. A favorite part. But I was just looking at the introduction and it made me laugh so hard.
And I actually wrote the introduction last.
It was your strongest chapter.
Really?
Oh, that's so interesting. Because I remember when you sent us the draft, I thought it was the weakest one.
Yep.
And I think you like redid the whole thing.
I sent it to her.
The introduction is pretty much just like a summary of the whole book. Like
Fantastical Delusions.
Yeah.
Did you not read it?
I just said chapter one.
I mean, I started from the definition page.
Then you read the intro.
Then you read the intro. Okay. It was, I wrote it last and I sent it to Jackie and I was just like, fuck, I was like fatigued. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I got it out. Like, I think it's good. And she was like, it's terrible. And I started fresh.
Cause I read the introduction and then the rest of the book. And I was like, the introduction is not a reflection of how good this book is. Like, try again. And you nailed it.
And you were totally right. And like, I knew sending it to her, I'm like, I just need her to tell me it's bad. Cause like, I know it's terrible.
My favorite chapter was surprisingly chapter 8 on the cancellation. The whole time I was reading the book, I was like dreading getting there because I was like PTSD. Yeah. I don't want to go through this again. But I actually found it to be like very cathartic to like read it in a holistic way from, you know, as just part of the story, mm-hmm. not just like this thing. And I also found that it was like interesting and full of tea. Like if I were a reader that wasn't your sister, I'd be like, oh my god, wait, so then they found out and then what did they do? Right. Who did they text? Who dropped them next?
Like, yes,
I just thought it was really interesting.
And Jackie got engaged the same day.
Right.
And they went to Utah.
Yeah. And like honestly, I was really struggling because cancel culture is just like, whether I like it or not, like a part of my life. And I kept submitting like drafts and there's like a bunch of rounds, you get edits. And I just kept having things to add. I would like wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, you know what? I feel this way now. And I would just add and add. And I'm like, we got to get this book published because if we don't, chapter 8 will go on forever.
Yeah.
I could talk endlessly.
Chapter 8 was really impactful, profound. And that's, it definitely, you hit so many points. And I was like, I felt like cancel culture, when it happened to you guys, wasn't as much of a thing. Like, I felt like, yes.
The first through the wall is the bloodiest.
Yes.
You guys were, like, made an example of. And now, I think if it happened, it would have gone differently. And it makes me upset that it happened when it did.
Because time wasn't on our side.
No. And hearing all of your perspective of, like, how you were given guidance to, like, stay quiet.
Right.
Lay low. And you were like, that's not authentic to me. And I'm going to, in fact, like, just outright apologize. I did something wrong and I want to own up to it.
Like, that's like what you learned in kindergarten.
100%.
Yeah.
And it made so much sense. It was so raw. And even seeing you transcribe your video, I was transported back to that moment seeing that video.
You? It wasn't in there. And one of the notes from my editor was like, you should transcribe the video, like put a couple lines. And so I'm like, I have to go watch it. And I think I actually asked Jackie, I'm like, can you please transcribe this for me? I cannot watch it. And she was like, you can't watch it. I can't watch it.
So I can't watch it.
I didn't respond to the email. And then like she followed up again. She's like, just checking back in on this. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, Natasha, I'll do it. I just like, it was so, so painful. Like, especially
she doesn't realize how painful it is. She's like, of course not. I need you to like, do check this
but
off
she
your
was
to-do
right.
list.
And that's why she's an editor and I'm not.
Right, totally. Okay, let's get into our questions for the author. All the girls have put together some of their personal questions for you.
Okay.
And then we will get into the redheads' questions.
Okay.
So first, from me, when you set out to write this book, sat down, pen to paper, mm-hmm. what did you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, the book proposal was like supposed to be very kitschy. Is that the right word? Tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
Like how to be a girl with no job and be successful, business, funny, celebrity. And I started writing and like the way it, I just, my instinct was to take it to something more autobiographical and more vulnerable. And every time I would start writing like a silly chapter, it just became, I was hesitant to call it a memoir because I'm only 26. But then once it started to like, I changed the outline, I'm like, no, this is fully a memoir. There's enough here for a book. And what it ended up with is not the book that I sold to like in my proposal. And it was completely different. But I'm so much happier with, what was the question?
What did you hope to accomplish?
Oh, so, and then in doing that, I mean, and I talk about in the book, like how unrealistic my expectations are of my career and like how I just want everyone to love me. And knowing that there are so many of these people who like wake up every day and it's like, what should I do to Claudia today? Like, it's like their full-time job. Knowing that there are so many people, you know, part of me in my unrealistic way is like, I'm going to change hearts and minds. And I know it's so unrealistic, but that I would be lying if I said like a huge motivation for me was not, you know, wanting people to love me.
Yeah.
And,
or at least understand.
Yes.
You.
And then the other part is just telling my side. Mm-hmm. Because there have been stuff written about us so frequently. And I think for a while we, depending on the situation, I think my strategy is usually not to respond because it's just so intricate. Like I literally cannot explain. And so a book is a perfect place for that where I can be thoughtful and write.
Take your time to say
think
what
before
you
I
say.
Speak, which is a new thing I'm experiencing. And that was really one of the huge goals. Like put it out there. Like people have so many questions for me. Like, can you respond to this? Now it's officially out there forever in perpetuity and you can go read it.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
When you were writing your book, like, were you nervous about naming all these celebrities? Like, are you scared that Robert Pattinson's going to get you around my house?
100%, okay? 100%. I have such a pit. Also, because there are a couple friends, celebrities, that, like, I actually would consider a friend. But for the most part, like, when I get to fabulous places, like, I'm always someone's plus one. So it's, like, this girl who wasn't even invited is, like, exposing us in her book. Like, who is this girl? Who let her in?
Yeah.
And so that's the part I had a pit about. Like, I felt bad. And I didn't tell, like, I have a couple friends who, like, when I see them, like, I know I'm going to see celebrities. I didn't really, like, tell them that I was, like, exposing them. And I'm just waiting for a phone call, like, from Nicole Richie or Jonathan Chabon will be pleased to be in the book. And I didn't need to run it by
and
him.
And you make him, gave him a glowing yes. review.
Yeah. Totally.
That was such a great moment.
I love him. Like, I know people say so many nasty things about him. And I've just never had a moment experience with him where he wasn't so unbelievably kind.
No, I feel indebted to him for the moment that he, like, pulled you out of your dark place.
And you know what? He wasn't even trying.
No.
Yeah.
But he was so lovely.
But that's, like, the weird thing about life. It's like these moments happen and you don't expect them to affect you. And yeah. all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, that changed my life.
I also feel like on the flip side, it's like you never know how what you say to someone is going to, like, make the biggest difference to them.
And that, you also mentioned that when it came to your dad's death and the message that you got from that girl. And
who I heard from literally this morning. So my friend Sophie from high school is a toaster and I'm always talking to her. And she texted me and she was like, oh my God, Deb saw. And I've been trying to find Deborah on Instagram forever, but she got married and I just couldn't find her name. And she was like, Deb saw the book. She was like so overwhelmed. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Then I'm scrolling through my DMs and I saw Deborah. And she just wrote me such a lovely message. And she had no idea, like, when she was sending that message that, like, it would stick with me. And I think she was just really shook by it. And it was so fabulous to hear from her.
Oh, there were a lot of those moments that you wrote about your book.
Yeah. No.
The Ethan Stein part.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was, like, crying at that part.
Like, what he did for us.
But we've told him so many times. Like, every
bitch I know.
Yeah. Every time I get drunk and I'm like, and what you did for our family. Like, we will never forget. I'm a crier. Like,
is that the one whose FaceTime went off at your wedding?
Yes. His phone. And but, like, if it were anyone else, I would have slaughtered them.
Right. But
for him, I'm like,
no,
Ethan,
wrong.
Pick it up. Who is it? You got a date? But also, wait, to piggyback off of what you just said, Jonathan Chabon, like, reaching out. Now, when people I know or are friendly with are going through, like, a public, you know, cancellation or whatever, everyone goes through their own bullshit, I always text them. Even if I think they're wrong, I know they're not bad people. And maybe I won't, like, go, you know, publicly defending them. But it's a personal thing. Like, everyone, when you go through something so public, everyone's like, your business or your Instagram followers, but people don't think about, like, the mental health of it all. It's very triggering. So I'm always texting people, like, are you okay? Like, I've been through worse. Keep your head up. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Because it's very comforting to hear from someone who's been through it way worse than you.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you're not a leper just because something went awry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
but it feels that way.
But it can feel that way unless people confirm that they support you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Claudia.
Yes, ma'am.
Now that the book is out and you're getting real live reader feedback, is it different than you anticipated? Like, are certain chapters resonating with readers in a way you did not expect? And are other chapters that you did expect to land with readers not getting the attention that you thought they would?
Yes. So I thought that everyone would, like, be living for 4 and 8, body image and cancel culture. Never occurred to me that chapter one would be, like, the star of the book. And maybe it's just because it's the first thing people read, so they, like, message me the second they start reading. But you don't think about it, but so many people deal with grief, especially the loss of a parent. And it's been very moving, like, I didn't think people would relate to it because it's, like, my story. But I guess just talking about grief, like, holistically, I don't know if that's the right word, like, at a glance, is comforting for people. So I did not think that that would be, like, the hero of the book, but that's the feedback that I'm getting.
Thank you.
I have a question for you and the snitch.
Oh.
You mentioned how Margot made this huge sacrifice in coming with you on tour, which was a very moving part of the book, but I was wondering if you felt that way about it. Do you view it, what you did, as a huge sacrifice?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm a hero.
No, no, no. Like, I don't see it as, like, a sacrifice, but, like, I definitely, like, was, like,
you knew
like,
you were
social life for, like, a couple probably mm-hmm. a year and a half.
And you knew what you were, like, doing, like, you were helping.
Yeah, no, 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 I knew I wasn't just, like, getting on a plane.
Yeah, you weren't, like freeloading, like, you
no,
were...
I was fucking working yeah, my ass off.
Right.
But, no, I don't see it as, like, sacrificing, like, I'd do it again, but, yeah, no.
No, okay. I think you knew what you were doing, and that made you want to do it. Like, yeah. you wanted to help.
You wanted to be helpful. But it was also, like, a fun experience. Yeah. But it wasn't, like, all, you know, it wasn't,
work,
like,
work, work.
Like, your dream job.
I admire your adaptability the most, was my takeaway from the book. Specifically, okay. when you had to move to New York City and start over, how positive you were about that. If that was me, I hate change. I would lose my mind.
No, I know.
Do you think that kind of ability to adjust played a role in obtaining fame and getting as far as you have?
I mean, we went to two schools, three camps. Like, we just, even though we've always been, like, in New York, we just, like, moved around a lot. Like,
yeah. I went to three schools, two camps.
Right. And it's so
one
hard.
Teen, like, much
one teen
people.
Tour.
Oh, God.
That, for a week, that broke me.
I even know that it broke you, and I don't did. Even, I didn't know you then.
That was yeah. traumatizing.
Whenever, like, anyone, when I can be 90 years old and someone will be like, you're at the end of your life, do you have any regrets? And I will say, Sulam 20, 2009.
That's so, I've never been on a teen tour. Yeah, that teen tour, I could have told you that, was not for you.
Yeah. Well, no one did.
But in terms of adaptability, yes, like, it's literally the hardest thing in the world trying to make new friends. Like, being the new girl is the fucking worst, no matter how you slice it. You're never going to be like, everyone thinks I'm so beautiful. Like, that's what you hope. Like, all the boys are going to love me and all the girls are going to want to be friends with me. That's never how it works. Like, you're the new kid for at least a year, and it's painful. It is. So having that sort of experience under my belt, I don't know if it necessarily, like, helped, you know, the success of my business, but it definitely gave me, like, an armor, like a shell, because yeah. if you can experience being the new kid, you can do anything.
Yeah. You know what I just realized? I think that's why we both loved Luckiest Girl Alive so much, because it yep. high school experience, she's the new kid, and even the way she talked about being the new kid, and she was pretty popular off the bat, but, like, there was one other new kid, and, like, they were just the new kids.
And, by the way, I was shook by that, because when I, this is such a funny story, and I remembered it a few weeks ago, I'm like, I wish I put this in the book. When I was in the eighth grade, we had just switched schools, and I was a new girl, and there was another new kid, and he was so cute. He was an Israeli exchange student, and he was so handsome, and I had a crush on him, and I found out that he had a crush on me, and I was, like, shook about it, because he was so cute, and I, like, didn't have a lot of self-confidence. And somebody, I remember this girl, Sarah, she was like, oh my, that's so cute, like, the new kids being together. Never spoke to him again. Ever. The fact that I was categorized, I was like, yeah. we're gonna be the new couple? Kill me, I'm out of here.
Oh my God.
I never, because we were passing notes, and she was like, it's so cute, like, the new kids. I'm like, goodbye.
That's so funny. I remember when I transferred, there was one other girl who transferred too, and she seemed, like, perfectly nice, but we, like, would never be caught dead next to each other.
No, it's
then
true.
We both look even more yeah. new.
The newness duplicates. You're right. Oh my God. I was so angry that that memory just came to me, because it was so funny, and it was a real testament to how much I loathed being regarded as new.
No, 100%. But that's what we do here at the Redheads. We
uncover.
We unshake memories.
We
yeah.
That's, I love
yes.
we trigger. We trigger. Yes. I loved hearing your voice through the writing. And it's, I think everybody can hear your voice because you're so public, and, like, we just know how you talk, and
yeah.
we're also friends, so, like, I know how you talk. And it was just comforting. It made me laugh so hard, because I was like, this is actually her.
Yeah, and honestly, I totally, like, copied that style from Andy Cohen. I'm obsessed with him. Like, know everything about him. I thought his books were sensational.
So good.
And one of the book proposals that I've had over the years was, like, he did, like, the Andy Cohen diaries. I'm like, I want to journal every day. And they were like, you can't copy someone else's book format. But I loved how I'm like, I can hear Andy and I wanted that for myself so badly. And I was like, if this doesn't sound like me, I'm not putting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, one of the things that, like, I take pride in the most, like, was the tone of the book.
Yeah. Mazel tov, you succeeded.
Thank you.
One theme that's omnipresent in the book is popularity.
Yeah.
When you're a young girl in school, you want to be popular, to being an adult whose popularity now equals fame.
Yeah.
Having successfully, I think we can say you have successfully achieved popularity.
Wow, thank you.
Is it all it's cracked up to be?
No. I mean, I feel like every day is truly just, like, highs and lows. Like, even yesterday with the book launch, like, it was so much high. And then I'm like, oh my God, I didn't get a new message. Like, everyone hates me. It's so much mental fuckery. And I don't know if that's because of becoming popular or just because like I'm insane.
Yeah, well, I think anytime you have an emotional high, like an adrenaline rush, there is...
You're waiting for that other food.
No, but even if nothing else happens, like, you have to come down from it, and that's a come down.
But the thing is that, like, of course, on the day of the book launch, like, that's common, but that happens to me on a Tuesday. Like, it's my every day I wake up and I'm like, let's just ride the wave of highs and lows.
Yeah. Well, so popularity is a big theme in the book, as are movies, and it's clear that that's where you got your idea of popularity.
Yeah.
It's clear from reading the book that movies shaped a lot of who you are and what you expected life to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Now being an adult, what about life do you think movies get right, and what parts do you think that movies misrepresented?
Movies misrepresent all of life. And now, like, in 2020, like, the movies that the and TV shows that the kids now are growing up on will set them up for success. Like, it's much more realistic. With the movies we used to watch, like, we're just so not ever going to happen. And the TV shows. And that's, like, the conversation we had on the toast, like, about High School Musical, the musical, the series. Like, how...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Kids these days, like, are just going to grow up, like, with totally different expectations of, like, high school. And it's... And there's still, like, crazy high school bullying. But it's becoming a safer...
Yeah.
Space. So I think movies really get everything wrong, but at the same time, that's why we love them.
Exactly. But also, it's like, okay, they get everything wrong, but they also shape so much of who we are. So it's like our expectation, like, we're set up to fail.
100%. Especially when you're the type of person like me who is so influenced by TV and movies. I don't know if everyone.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah. I would say most people.
I think that us growing up, we were so into movies and TV, and I think that we were more influenced by them than maybe
anything
other
else.
People. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I have just one more question for you. How could you forget to leave Joan Rivers out of your book?
I know. You know who I also left out? Theo.
Oh my God. Well, he's on the back cover.
I know. The thing is, it's like, I just kept waiting for him to, like, pop up and be relevant when I was writing, and
he's
just
so irrelevant.
And it never came up.
He wasn't mentioned once?
Not once. Not
That's
a single time.
So crazy.
It's disgusting.
Wow.
That
disgraceful.
And what's even more disgraceful is I didn't even realize until
Same.
Right now.
No, I was waiting for someone to bring it up.
Wow.
That's why I was scared to come here. Expose me for the deadbeat mom that I am.
LOL. Okay, now we're going to take redhead questions. We got so many questions for you guys. We got some duplicates, so I batched them all together as well as possible, and hope we can get to the heart of all of your burning questions.
Okay.
The question that we got the most is there anyone in particular that you are nervous or cringing at the thought of them reading this book?
Yes, of course. I mean, even if I wrote positive things about them, like, I have a pit about it. But, of course, my freshman year roommate, she's not reading
it. Well, she's probably writing about you in her book.
Yes. That girl for sure. Also, actually heard from someone today in the chapter on Ben. You know, Ben was brought to this party that we met at to be set up with some girl. Her name is, I said in the book, Yael. Yael put a picture of it on her Instagram story and was like, thanks for the shout out, girl with no job. I don't know if she was like being like bitchy.
I think she wrote S.O.
Yeah, shout out. I know. I think she meant it nicely. One of my friends sent it to me, and like her, we don't have any bad blood. And I think she probably thought, I mean, I think it was flattering. Like, I didn't say anything bad.
You didn't say anything bad.
No, but
I mean, at the end of the day, you walked away with a husband.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you snooze, you lose, Yael.
100%. So just like anyone I wrote about that I didn't give a heads up to, I mean, people, not everyone is a thirst monster. Like, some people don't want to be included in a book. Like, so I guess I like should have asked for permission, but I was just not in the mood to have those hard conversations.
Yeah. It just changed their name instead.
Yeah, which I did for most people, but Yael was too good.
How did you decide if you were going to change a name or not?
I had a call with a lawyer from my publisher, which is like standard, and they go through the book, they read it, and they tag certain things. So certain like venues, certain people, certain cities, they make you change details just so that like ever, you know, in a court of law, you couldn't be liable. They couldn't be liable.
Just like Alicia.
What?
Alicia.
Alicia.
I read it as Alicia.
You did?
I read it as Alicia.
This bitch has no memory.
Her name is Alicia.
But like written like that, I see that and I think LGBT.
No, but...
Oh, interesting.
Yesterday, Dana was telling you how she thought that your friend Alicia decided she didn't want to be mentioned in the book because she didn't know it was spelled like Alicia.
Got it. I don't remember having that conversation. Yesterday was a crazy day.
That is so funny. Were you nervous for Ben's family to read the book? Were there any details about your relationship with Ben that you thought might make them uncomfortable?
No.
It was super PG-13.
Super PG.
That's like the ideal relationship right. on your child.
100%. And all you said was like making out and then you lost your virginity to him, which are like both
lovely, lovely.
Right. No, but like those are lovely. That's PG-13.
Yeah, but they were in my mind. Like they're super supportive. And
were
like
they laughing at the chef part when you didn't want to eat any of the food.
Yes. I mean, I asked Ben's mom read it first and she was like mentioning things. And, you know, her, she's a Jewish mother who's in love with her son. So she was like, and then when you wrote this about Ben and this about Ben, I'm like, yeah. And then Bruce, Ben's dad, read it. And he was like, I am moved to tears by the cancellation chapter. Like, you're so strong. Aww. So they're so supportive. So, like, they were definitely in my mind. I mean, I never really say anything, like, that crazy or, like, sexual.
Yeah, it's
That's not
like
my
you
brand.
Wrote Bridgerton.
Right. So I wasn't that worried, but they were a just in my mind.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You guys, too. Like, people, like, I care about.
Yeah. Question for Jackie and Margo. Was there anything you didn't know about Claudia prior to reading it in the book?
No. There was, I learned new things about me.
Oh.
With chapter one about my bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, like what?
Everyone was like.
What went into it?
Pulling in their weight for you.
Sure, it was like the greatest night of my life since I moved out there.
Was it the greatest night of your life?
I think so.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, I remember it fondly. I feel like there wasn't anything like information that I learned that was new, but it was interesting just to hear things from your point of view. Like I remember you had a paragraph about how when you went back to school after daddy died, you didn't want to be the kid who lost a parent because we all know that kid.
Like, I can name her right now.
I still feel sad for them to this day and how you went out of your way to always be like happy and funny, which eventually translated to annoying, but you'd rather be annoying than be the kid who lost a parent.
Yep.
And I feel like I did the exact same
thing. Oh, really?
And I feel like when I think back on high school, I feel like annoyed by myself, but it was because like I was trying to like not seem sad.
100%. And I came to this realization because a few years ago, you know, Ben's friend, well, he went to our high school, but Ben knows him now. They're really friendly. Mike, he was in your grade, Mike Berg. I've been hanging out with him like since I met Ben because they're friends. We didn't really hang out in high school. And he said something to me one night when we were drinking. And like, I don't even know if he knows that I remember it, but he was like, wow, you're so much better now than you were in high school. Like you were so annoying. And I'm like, what? I had no idea. He opened my mind. And I'm like, I was annoying. I thought I was a delight. I thought everyone thought I was hysterical and such a good singer. And then that's when the self-awareness kicked in. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, oh no, 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 no.
And that's when I realized, I'm like, oh, my God, all my efforts, they were not successful. But at least I wasn't a kid.
He didn't say, like, you're so much better than you were in high school.
You were depressed.
You were just crying about your dad. I can't.
I did feel the whole time like I wanted it to read like a novel that switched perspectives. Like, ooh, I wonder what Jackie's next chapter is going to say about this exact same situation.
That's a good idea for the next book.
Yeah, the sequel just keeps writing itself.
Yes, the cancellation from everyone's perspective.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
For sure.
A trilogy.
You were just dissecting a sheep's brain?
I was in lab, yeah.
Oh, wow.
School, and I had a fucking sheep brain, and the article dropped, and I literally was, like, reading an article.
Oh, my God.
And fucking sheep brain. And the girl next to me was her head, and she's like, are you okay? I was like, no. She's like, I got the brain, girl.
Right.
And then I went home and
looked. Wow.
Everyone remembers where they were.
Where were you?
I was sitting at my desk, and someone texted me, you should look online.
Who was it?
Sam Frankel.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought it was like someone being nasty. Like,
No. Okay. It was like we have to
prepare.
Well, because Jackie was getting engaged that day. So
Everyone was communicating.
Right.
Yeah. Except for me. And I guess I slept in that day because I saw it while I was getting ready.
I saw it the second I woke up.
Yeah, like I woke up, I didn't immediately check my phone. I feel like I was brushing my teeth and just like scrolling and I was like, bloop.
Yeah.
Jackie was like, oh, has anyone said anything? And we're like waiting for her to get engaged overlooking the window.
Right.
I'm like, nope, everyone's at work.
Everyone's feeling fine. It's all good over here.
I also remember the next day sitting and waiting for The Breath to go live and like 10:30 a.m., 10:31, and I was like, I don't know if this is happening.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. I didn't even think, like,
we were
that.
All just, like, waiting on the live stream.
Yeah.
Damn. I feel like I've heard that from toasters, too, like, that they remember the next day, like, The Breath never came
chilling.
On again.
Chilling.
It was chilling.
I never even thought of that.
Dana and I were communicating the entire time. It was, like, 10:30, 10:31, and then we're like, we don't know if it's happening, because sometimes you guys come on late,
right.
And, like, we just didn't know, and then we're like, at like 11 a.m. we're like, I think
it's
not
that. Yeah.
My boss called. I'm like, not now, Isabella.
Oh my God. That's such a crazy like perspective to think about. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, something that you write about in the book, which is not something that you've really ever spoken about, is your relationship with our mom.
Mm-hmm.
Was it hard for you to write about that relationship and be more public? Well, more public than not ever saying anything about that part of your life.
No, it wasn't hard to write it, but it's hard to digest, like, what people think about it. Because, like, I didn't have to think that hard when I wrote it's what I felt.
Yeah.
I love my mom and I'm sorry that bothers people. Like, and I'm sorry that I'm not going to talk shit about her. So writing it was not a difficult thing at all. Putting it out there was, because it seems to be an answer that people refuse to accept.
Yeah.
And they're just going to keep hounding. And I just don't know how many other times. I mean, I've actually never really said it, but
yeah,
I don't know how another way that I can say it that people will
respect.
I don't even need them to agree with it or understand it, but just respect my opinion.
Yeah. Or your decision.
So that's hard. Like, that's the thing. 'Cause you know, my quest for world universal love, it's a huge barrier.
Yeah.
Huge.
This reader would love to hear about your experience writing the book. Was it hard for you to put your story into writing? Did it come naturally? What was your writing schedule like? Someone else asked if you had any writing snacks that you liked. The book is so authentic and captivating, and I'm curious to hear what it was like behind the scenes.
Wrote it from bed, exclusively. Never wrote one single word on the couch or at the dining room table or at a desk. From bed, and I would talk and record myself. And then transcribe.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's how...
You achieved your voice.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Did you have any writing snacks?
And in terms of snacks, you know, I'm the type of gal who snacks on literally anything she can get her hands on. So whatever was in my pantry that day.
Is there anything in the book that your publishers or editors advised you to remove? Or is there anything you had originally included and that was cut out?
I had written about a friend of mine who had passed away a few years ago. And I don't know, I just didn't feel right about...
I didn't feel right about,
it's like not my story to tell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and her, I know her family really well and they're like private, normal people. And I just felt weird putting it out there. Like with Daddy, like that's my story to tell.
Yeah.
But I just felt weird about it, you know?
That I respect that decision, but it is crazy because it's such a big part of your life.
Huge.
Yeah.
And I don't really even ever talk about it again because it just doesn't feel, I feel like what I do is so public and I know these people very well and they're super private. So like, I would have, if I had included it, had a conversation with them and let them know. And I just didn't want that.
I
respect their privacy and I respect them too much.
Yeah.
To bring them into like my shit show.
Yeah. What was the hardest part of the book for you to write?
Daddy. Like 100%. Because, you know, I've been on and off starting therapy like for the last year. And what I've surmised is that I actually have not dealt with the... Yeah, I've not dealt with the death of our father whatsoever. And I used to think, like, because I wasn't sad all the time.
That's like, because it's been 10 years.
I killed
it's
it.
No, it's because what we all did was we
suppress.
We didn't want to be sad, so that we were happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing came
of it. Very.
Whenever, like, someone just, you say the word dad, you just get a
look. 100%! So, like, that was hard because I had to talk about it and think about it so much. Whereas, like, I think about Daddy, like, all the time, but it's like, miss you, not going into, like, watching the Bratz movie and Mom coming in, Daddy's dead, get in the car, like...
I'm so glad you put that fucking old woman.
Yes!
That bitch, I hated her.
Do you remember that?
I remember it, but I don't remember her being so bitchy.
Oh,
she was...
She's like, it happens. And I literally was like... What?
I just remember being like, I hope nobody sees us. Like, we're like a gaggling group of like crying women on the street.
Girls.
And I'm sure we looked like weird as fuck. Like, I'm like, if I run into anyone I know right now, I'm done.
So I'll never be popular.
Yeah, no, literally. I'm like, if anyone from school sees, I'm through.
Stop. What was your favorite part to write about on the other end of the spectrum?
Probably childhood, because I never really like, I mean, I don't think people do all the time, but like I never like talk about my childhood and like we did have like a, you know, kind of classic upbringing for like some Long Island Jews, but there was this part of me that like, and actually that was very painful because I'm like, I hated life like when I was a kid, like I was so angry at everything and I'm like, so love the person I am now, and I wouldn't be here without crazy Claudia, but I hated writing about it because, first of all, it's so embarrassing. Like, you guys were there, like, you know, it was so crazy. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I always want people to think I'm like perfect and fabulous, and I actually was like so unwell. And that was really embarrassing. But the other childhood stuff was like fun because like it just gave
stuff.
Yeah, and it gives a huge sense of who we are.
And I, what's so crazy is like if you hadn't written about Crazy Claudia, I wouldn't have been like, oh, where is she? Like I've really forgotten about her. So you've really done a good job of eclipsing her.
And I got a message from someone today who I've been reading every single message because they're so positive. And this girl was like, I feel so like validated. I literally had the same thing. And when I got my period, like it all stopped.
Wow.
And she was like, it must've been some sort of like chemical hormone imbalance. I used to like scream at my family, like, I hope you all die. And she was like, your book really like spoke to me. And I couldn't believe like someone else had the exact same experience. And it made me, when I read her say that, I heard her say that, I'm like, oh my God. Thank God. Someone else.
Yeah. But it's so.
Did your stop after your period?
Well, not my period, but like I was 13.
When you
14,
went to middle
when
school.
When we moved.
Yeah. When you moved to the city, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm that sure was eighth
made,
grade.
I'm sure it made a lot of people like feel some comfort because like either their kids are like that
yes.
or they were like that. And
yes.
they're like, wow, like if she can grow up and become the successful.
Or just like not angry. Yeah.
But then you're also 10 million times more than the rest of us. Stop. Like it's crazy. So
yeah.
I think it's, I'm glad
yeah.
you included that.
That was definitely an interesting factoid.
Right.
I'm sure for people who don't know you or didn't
right.
grow up with you. Claude used words like idyllic and lucrative to name a few, and she told stories in a way that felt fluid and digestible, but not childish. This is a reader who loved the book, but listens to you on the toast every day, and then like the voice of this
right.
book.
I talk like an animal on the toast
yes.
and an adult in the book.
And so, not to be shady, she
mm-hmm,
says, but
fine.
How did you prepare for this? Did you read more? Did you use a thesaurus? Did all of this pour out from you because it's your life story and thus easier to articulate? Did you ask any of your sisters or family for any specific help? Please don't be offended by this question.
No.
I'm so used to being a fast-talking queen on the toast,
yeah.
but was pleasantly surprised to find the tone and pace of this book to be like that of a lifelong author.
Wow. By the way, not offended at all.
Yeah.
And it's a great question because I did all of the above. I mean, I read Howard Stern's book. That was the last book I read before I started writing. The Howard Stern one was everything of the sort, and I wanted it to be like that so much. And Howard is so smart. So I'm like, okay, I have to be smart. I definitely use a thesaurus on many occasions.
As one does.
Thesaurus.com.
The best thesaurus on earth.
Because the dictionary app on the computer, like, has thesaurus, but it's not great.
I use that one.
I've never even.
You
oh my
do?
God, I use it to this day. I use it 3 minutes ago. I use
really?
It obsessively. I love the thesaurus dictionary component. Yes.
No, I love thesaurus.com.
Thesaurus.com is, like, so, like, janky.
No, it's everything.
No, by the way, it's the most poorly built website
yes, like, I
ever.
Feel like my computer gets a virus
yes.
when I go to thesaurus.com. It's
in, like, 10 years ago.
Yes.
No, but if it ain't broke, don't fix
agreed.
It.
Agreed.
Keep on doing new thesaurus.com.
I have it bookmarked. Like, it's the best website. So, yes, I use the thesaurus a lot because I know, like, a bunch of big words, but I use them so frequently, like, give this girl some new words. And yes, I talk to all the Steens frequently about mostly like fact checking. I'm like,
yeah.
what day did this happen? And is this how it went down?
Yeah.
Did I have a tendency to make things up? And it was helpful to have three people who were able to refute my claims.
Yes.
So that was not a shady question, but thank you for noticing.
You're welcome. Given that Claudia talks about how she has now become friends with some of the celebrities she used to be a fan of, how does she navigate that when talking about potential pop culture stories on air? Is there ever a conflict of what stories to share if you're friends with a celebrity? And if you ever feel like you must share the story, even though it's about your celeb friend, do you find yourself holding back? How do you deal with this conflict?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hold back. And now, and I've said this before, like, I'm such a fan of so many people. And if you're my friend, like, I will defend you to the death. So it's like, what it's the same as like talking about your regular friends. But I definitely hold back. And it kind of sucks because like, it's like interfering with the work. But I do because I want to keep being friends with celebrities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this next question is long, but it's full of just really great. It's really well written, so I just wanted to put the whole thing in. This book is talented, brilliant, incredible, amazing, show-stopping, spectacular, never the same, totally unique, completely not ever been done before. You get the idea.
100%.
One thing that really hit home was when Claudia talked about how because of her weight, she feels the need to overcompensate in different areas, personality, makeup, etc. I am a 26-year-old who for years felt the need to make up for being a fat friend by being the most outgoing and
yeah.
fun friend in my group. In
yeah.
college, I would get so drunk at parties because I would rather be known as the party friend than the fat one.
That's so true.
I get so sad when I think about how insecure I was during this time.
Mm-hmm.
My question for Claudia is, how do you think society can better help girls like us who think we need to bring more to the table just to make up for the fact that we have love handles, a fupa, and an occasional double chin depending on the camera angle?
That's interesting. I mean, it's both. Like, it's on society, but it's also on you. Like, that's like something you have to work out in therapy or like find within yourself. I don't know how society necessarily changes it, but I just think it starts with like the way we see chubby women is like, I can't think of, well, in 2020 it's better, but I can't think of a ton of movies or TV shows where the main character is like a successful, funny, smart, chubby person. Chubby person is always the funny friend. And like we were just saying, like movies influence how we see the world. So mm-hmm. it's like, all right, if you're the fat friend, then you have to be funny or you have to be crazy. Like Melissa McCarthy, you know, she's always like the crazy. And I just think like representation is important and young people are very impressionable. So it's like, can we just get a TV show with like a fabulous, successful chubby person? I will happily star in it.
Love it.
Such a good show. Or maybe. And that show was good actually in highlighting like how you can be a genius lawyer, but people will always see you as a chubby woman.
Yeah.
Whereas like you could be a skinny blonde who has nothing going for her and is she was a terrible person,
yes.
but she has everything in the world and, yes. and people's respect.
That show needs more
I agree.
Love on that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like I feel pretty. That's why I'm not a huge Amy Schumer fan, but I know, sorry Dana. Oh my god, sorry. But I loved that movie yeah. so
we
much.
We need more movies like that.
The message was incredible. I've never walked out of a movie felt like I could have written it.
Yeah, no, or like just inspired, because it is so much about how the world sees people, but it's also how you see yourself. And
yep.
that movie just, because by the beginning and the end of the movie, she looks the exact same,
yeah.
obviously. But the way that even the viewer sees her when she starts to act like she's
yes.
the most beautiful girl in the world, it's like, yeah, no, she's really pretty.
Like confidence, you have no idea. Like if you don't like the way you look, like get confidence, because you will literally become more beautiful, like in an instant.
Yeah.
Confidence.
Yes.
Confidence. Okay, last reader question. I just finished Claudia's book and I fucking loved it. I've never read a book so quickly in my life. A question I have is about the crisis PR firm that Claudia hired.
Okay.
Obviously, they were very expensive and she didn't listen to their plan. Was there anything that they suggested she did do? Do you think they actually helped with the crisis? Do you regret hiring them? I found that factoid so interesting and never expected that a firm was advising you through the cancellation, even though I was a loyal follower then and now mm-hmm. and watched the whole thing unfold.
Well, so they didn't advise. I had to pay their retainer and I never heard from them, partially because I didn't agree with them, but partially because honestly I was unhelpable. Like no amount of money and no publicist was going to help the shithole that I had gotten myself into. So yes, technically I had someone on retainer, but I wasn't advised by anyone. I made all my own decisions, and they had like a variety of opportunities for the next few months that they were thinking about, and it just didn't feel right. Like my gut was like, this is not right. And I just did what I thought was best. So, yeah, I mean, I did not have like anyone advising me. Like, and there were people I called like friends in the industry, like to get their advice. And that was really helpful, or people who had been through something similar. Like I said, I spoke to Nicole Richie, but no.
Got it. Okay, now it's time for our Kindle highlight section where
oh, fun.
I've asked everyone to highlight a passage or a quote that just stuck out to you. I read this book. I read the hardcover, so okay. I didn't get to use my Kindle highlights, which I really struggled with. Was there any passage or moment or way that she described something that stuck out to you, Snitch? Or for those who read on Kindle, do you have a quote?
I do. It's in regards to your cancellation.
Okay.
And you said the most fucked up part of the cancellation process is the rejoicing that occurs when the angry mobs of Twitter trolls successfully cancel someone. There's a ceremonial dancing on their graves. A lot of people on Twitter live for public shaming. They can't wait to tear people down, often forgetting that people, yes, even celebrities, are human beings. And that hit home because it's so true and so messed up. And I saw it unfold with my best friend. So mm-hmm. I was like deeply messed up by it. And you see it all the time. And I mean, makes me sad that you went through that, and I just love you, and I'm so proud of you guys for coming back from
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. But I also feel like unless you've gone through it, or unless you know someone who you know is a good person, you feel like that's what you're supposed to be doing.
And like this person deserves it.
Yeah, and that you are making the world a better place by taking out this person.
Right, the thing is, it's like, and I hate to even call them social justice warriors, which is what people refer to, you know, these cancelers as, because I don't feel like they're motivated at all by social justice. Because honestly, I'm a social justice warrior. I care about social justice issues. And I just don't think that people who like search through your old social media and like expose you making videos on Twitter, like I don't think that those people are fighting for social justice. And I don't think that that's the goal. I think it's comes from a really negative, hateful place.
And that's what the point about, you said there are people who say bad things and do bad things.
Right.
And that is such a fair point. The fact that Chris Brown is still celebrated in our industry.
Yeah.
And
you know, I was literally talking to Olivia today and she told me something crazy. So I'm doing all this press and like whatever. And me and Olivia were talking about this celebrity and she said, did you know he was accused of rape twice? And I'm like, what? I know everything about every celebrity. And I went on Wikipedia and it was there. And I'm like, what? But he has his own show. Like, it was so confusing. And I'm like, the hypocrisy of cancel culture is not lost on me. Like, there's people who can get away with things and there's people who we hold to an impossible standard.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a double standard of men versus women, or like, what do you think it is?
Honestly, and I said this in the book and I mean it, like, cancellations are case by case. They are not one size fits all. And it's like, the result of a cancellation, you can't control it. Like, some people are just untouchable and some people are not.
But I also think you make a really good point in the book, is like the way that the media treats traditional celebrities versus digital celebrities. It's like traditional celebrities have this layer of protection. Yeah. And it's like, if an influencer said what Vanessa Hudgens said at the beginning of coronavirus, they would never work with a brand ever again.
And there would be like Instagram accounts dedicated to exposing them. Yeah. And all that.
Yeah. And she, within a week, a month, bounced back hosting whatever. I saw her hosting like a Billboard type music.
And by the way, I don't think she should have gotten any opportunities taken away from her, but she made a mistake.
Right. It's just the scale of the punishment is so different.
When Vanessa Hudgens, no matter which influencer it is way more famous than an influencer, even the most famous influencer.
Yes, I agree.
No, that's an amazing point.
It is so case by case.
I loved so many passages. I wrote down a bunch of different notes. I really felt like you were winking at me when you described your gaucho pants as Duty Brown.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't have said Duty Brown. I probably said Duty Colored, you know? But you put Duty Brown in
my
brain.
Thank you. I primed you. I loved when you said, "I secretly hate Jackie." Oh, it was great. So funny. So it was like Mean Girls-esque. Like, no, I'm totally kidding. Yeah, but she did get hurt.
Yes, Dana, exactly. But she did get hurt.
I love that you described your family as the Kardashians with the college degrees.
Thank you.
That really tickled me. I fucking was dying that Charlene pretended to move to Trinidad because you were such a torturer.
Oh, that is true. That is a true story.
That's insane.
And that was great to give some context. Like, I'm not being dramatic. Like, this I was really insane.
I was living for your emo music days. I too loved Secondhand Serenade. Oh my God. Do you know the song Vulnerable?
I know the song Vulnerable. Of course.
That was my theme when I like thought I was an emo.
100%. Like eyeliner on my waterline. Yes.
Okay, but what resonated with me the most by far was when you described the possessiveness and the defensiveness that takes over you when you discover a celebrity that then later everybody gets on the back for.
Yeah.
For me, that's Amy Schumer and Drake. Like, I fucking discovered both of them.
You
and
did.
Now they're so famous. And, I'm not happy for them.
And
I'm
you get
pissed.
No recognition. Like, so it's a thankless job.
Yeah, I feel like Spotify actually is working on that.
Yes!
Because now they're doing this thing where if you're in, like, the first 1% of someone's listeners, like, you get pre-sale access to tickets.
And you get invited to, like, private concerts.
And I actually think that that's like really nice.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Acknowledge for all the A&R work we did for free.
Yeah, that's you for me. That's Kacey Musgraves.
You mentioned The Fray, and that was me in The Fray.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, you mentioned them a lot.
No,
yeah,
because that song. Okay? No, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, I feel like this book, like, regardless of how people feel about you, like, if you are someone who was born in the 90s and are into pop culture, like, there are so many references for every example that you give. Like, you cite a real life reference that, like, or movie or experience, where I just think for any pop culture junkie, it's crack.
Yeah, no, I think that
say any, crack again.
I think that any and every person who was born in the 90s needs to buy the book. All of you. All 30 million
all
of you.
All of my highlighted sections, like, I'm sorry I went like to like such a serious one, but they are just LOL, LOL, LOL.
No, same.
LOL.
And when I read the book in June when we were giving you edits, and like, those were really my highlights, like, I would just highlight something and write LOL so she could see that
on
I
Google
laughed
Doc,
at it. So I actually wanted to go back and find the Google Doc to see what were some of the funniest things. Like, I think when you were talking about body image and you were like, people always ask you like, how are you so confident? And it's like, no one asks Gigi Hadid how she maintains her confidence.
No, right. Yeah. And by the way, I couldn't identify why anytime I was like, oh my God, I'm like so jealous, like, you have so much confidence, people just like noting my confidence, I couldn't figure out why I was like slightly insulted anytime someone said that. So that's why writing a book is so helpful, because you really think and you like, you have a thought and then you trace
you
its
work
origins.
It out. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that is why. Like, why is it so brave of me to be confident? Like, I'm stunning.
You know? No, totally. Okay, next up, we are going to do our moral of the story segment, where everyone shares what they think is the moral of this story.
Okay.
So I'll go first. There's a number. I think one of them is be yourself, you know.
Yep.
Everyone else is taken. And I also think it's people are human.
Mm-hmm.
life is a roller coaster, you know, and just give everyone the time and space to grow.
Yeah.
And I think if you had to sum up the moral in a song, it would be growing.
We do it every day. We're growing in the evening. And even when we play, and we're going.
Do you guys not know that song?
Never in my life.
From God. It's like a childhood song.
I've never heard in my life.
It's about how we're always growing.
Kids are growing.
But now as adults, it's like an emotional song. We're always growing.
You should sing it to your future children.
Okay.
Snitch, what is the moral of the story?
I think that it's don't judge a book by its cover.
Wow.
Deep snitch.
Yes.
The cover is not a maxi
pad. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Don't judge a book by its cover. Like, the things that people, like, think about you and, like, us are, like, so fucking
crazy.
Wild. Like, it's the craziest thing. It's like, if only people knew that we're, like, truly the most normal humans, like, on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a great point.
Bex?
My moral of the story is never take no for an answer.
That's the moral. That is good it. One. Dana?
You said two things that I think really hit on the moral. The first is when you said, if you make fun of yourself first, you rob someone else of the power to make you feel bad. And I love that. It's
Thank you.
Humor is this universal thing that everybody should capitalize on because it'll make you feel better. And it's just, to me, the power. And the second was you talked about how one good byproduct of your trauma was that you now are a more sensitive, empathetic person. And I think that's a really nice side effect of a horrible experience.
Yes, I agree with all of you. I would say, like, the moral of the story is obviously, like, it's a redemption story. But it's also, like, a story of pride. Like, I feel like for a while I was way too proud. Yeah, way too proud to admit when I was wrong or admit that I made a mistake or, like, rebuild. And I just think, like, the whole moral of the story is growth, and it's like, it's okay. Like, you can think differently tomorrow.
Totally. Yeah, I agree.
Short joke.
LOL. Okay, now it's time for the Hollywood treatment where we cast who we would want to play the main characters in a movie or TV show based on the book. So this is really fun because we're going to be casting Claudia, Jackie, Olivia, Margot, and Ben.
Okay.
We will start with Claudia. I'll go first.
And if any of you offend me, I will never talk to you again.
Okay. I'm going first. For Claudia, I would do Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, that's very good.
I feel like she could do it. And also, she is Jewish. She's around your age. And I feel like she could be like a quirky, funny girl. I think she's a really great actress.
She is.
She has an amazing voice.
Yes. Imperative.
Love that.
Okay. Cam Mendes.
I was thinking that as well.
Yeah.
That works.
She might need to gain a little weight, but yeah.
Kim Kardashian.
Agreed. 100%.
Black China.
I see it. Yeah.
What's yours?
Mine,
who would you want to play if this got ever picked up?
Megan Fox.
Isn't she a little old for the role?
No, she's very youthful.
Okay. Next up for me, this was really fun to think about. I decided on Emma Roberts.
Love.
Because I think that, like, her sense of humor and comedic timing, like, I think she could really get my sense of humor.
Yeah.
And she's had red hair before and it looks great on her and she's, like, so beautiful, stunning and smart.
I love that.
And stylish. And I just feel like she's so funny and in the same way that I'm funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. On that same note, this one, she's a little bit older, but her comedic timing, like, she's so you. Like, Isla Fisher, but, like,
Congratulations
of Shop Calling.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh, my God. That's good. I like that.
That's good.
I did Isla Fisher, too, and I'm so happy you went first because I was about to say Isla Fisher.
Oh, God. Also, I'm surprised nobody said Madeleine Petch because it's, like, so obvious.
100%.
But mine, I think you're going to like mine. Becca Tobin.
We've talked about this, and I do like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
She also expressed interest.
What?
Michelle.
For me, thank you.
Oh my God, 100%.
It's decided.
Totally.
It's decided.
100%.
We both have that annoying high schooler energy.
And she's Jewish.
Yes.
And she's a great voice.
Right.
For me, I also almost said Sabrina Carpenter just to trigger all of you, but she's too young for the role.
Yeah.
Olivia,
I honestly couldn't cast
her. Me neither.
I know, but I was focused on who could get that, like, bitchy energy in check. Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, actually, you know what? I just came up with a good one. They don't look alike, but she had that perfect bitchy energy. That girl Sadie from Awkward. Do you guys remember that TV show?
Oh my God, yes!
And she was like, you're welcome. Like, that was Olivia in high school.
Molly Tarlov.
Yes!
Claudia, that is so on point.
Thank you.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding.
I'm Molly Tarlov.
Yeah.
Khloe Kardashian.
That's actually who I said too.
Oh, honestly, that's really good.
Yeah,
it works.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Okay, and then lastly, who would play Margot? I chose Madeline Klein.
Me too.
Oh my God.
You look like her.
Do I? Yeah.
She's stunning.
And she has your same energy of just like, girl, cool. Like,
young and beautiful.
Pretty. Oops, I'm pretty.
Oops, my body's perfect.
Okay, speaking of bodies being perfect, I chose Riley Reid, the fourth.
people always tell Margot.
So, but you casted her as you.
She has acting experience.
Yeah. So, by the way, I actually chose Emma Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Love it. Love. And then you also have to think about, like, these people together. So, like, Molly Tarlov, Emma Chamberlain, Lea Michele, and Emma Roberts.
That, like, works.
Star-studded.
What about you?
It doesn't work as well as Kylie Jenner.
Oh, my God. Dana.
I did Blake Lively.
She's a little old.
That just don't.
Okay.
Don't ignore her. Oh. It's our strategy.
Oh, I forgot. Right. Ignore her. No, that's really good, Dana. Moving on.
And then Ben. There's so many people who could play him. I did Andy Samberg.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. Seth Rogen.
A little old.
Oh, those are great. I mean, I did Kanye, but like not, right. You know?
Yeah.
No, missed opportunity. Rob Kardashian.
The brother.
Honestly, that's good because like boy, no job.
Yeah. Dead. Who'd you do?
I did Rob, and then I did James Corden, too.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Moving on. I did Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Glasses, Jew. They look exactly alike.
Yeah, it's the same energy. Any of those people work. Okay, now it is time. That is a wrap on the recap. It's time for our overall Redheads rating where everyone shares out of 5 what they would rate this book.
Do honestly, like, don't everyone give me 5 stars.
Yeah, I always give whole numbers because that's how they rate on Goodreads. And I truly, if I had read this book and I wasn't your sister, it's a 5 for me.
Wow.
Because it's everything that I look for in a celeb memoir. Like, you told me things I didn't already know about you. You came off like really self-aware and funny. I laughed, I cried, and I understood. And that's really all you can hope for is a laugh, a cry, and an understanding.
Yep.
From your celeb memoir.
Hear, hear.
Snitch.
So I don't normally like memoirs. Like, I just don't like reading about other people's lives.
Fair.
I'd rather someone just like make up a story that I'm buy into. And so for that reason and that reason only is why it's 4.5.
Okay.
Okay, the Snatcher.
I'll take it.
I would never give you anything less than a 5. I'm way too scared.
Yeah.
However, I feel the exact same way as Jackie, that it had it all for me. And to pick up a book and be delighted and feel the emotions, but mostly just laugh and hear the voice of the author, it was special. And I feel like it hasn't happened for me in so long that it was so refreshing that it was like, yes, this is exactly what I need right now.
Thank you so much.
I gave it a 4, which is very high for me.
Yeah.
4? 4 is so close to 3.9.
But close to 4.1.
That's like an 80 on a test.
4 is good. I really loved the book, Claudia. I just have to keep it relative with all my...
Have you ever given a book a 5?
No, never.
What's the highest you've given something?
Probably your favorite book, A Little Life. What would you give that?
That would be a 5. If I if I'm going to give a 5. Redheads
books.
Ooh. And my favorite Redheads book was My Dark Vanessa, and I might have done like a 4.5.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I'll accept it.
The overall Redheads rating for Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst sponsored by Claudia Ashray, is a 4.625. I think that's our highest rated
book. Well, it doesn't count because I'm sitting right
here.
Like,
no.
If I wasn't.
Our highest rated book was My Dark Vanessa, I think.
I don't think it was above 4.5.
Let me, I have it in my phone. Oh, never mind. The way that I rated, never mind. We'll find
out. It's our highest. I'll find out afterwards.
Definitely.
Well, I appreciate you guys being nice to my face, and it was great to see you.
Thank you so much for joining this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. What a fun. You guys do this all the time.
Yeah.
This join us. And then you have dinner?
Yes.
That's like so fun.
Yeah.
Come back anytime.
We always invite you.
No, I know. I sometimes come to the dinner. I don't miss dinners.
Well, be a redhead whenever you feel like it.
Done. This was fabulous. Thank you guys.
This was so much fun. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And we have another episode dropping next week, our regular scheduled programming. The book is How to Fail at Flirting by Denise Williams. A lot of you are already reading it, having finished it, and loving it. And I'm so excited to get into it. So that will drop the first Thursday of February. We will see you then.
You guys, I started it because, as you know, I'm a slow reader. Got to pace myself, and it's so good. So for those of you listening, it's like it's such a nice compliment to this book. Like, if you love this book, you'll love How to Fail at Flirting. It is so freaking good. Enjoy.
Oh, I'm so excited. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.